Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God, everyone. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host here today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Truly, I welcome you to our show today. And we want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Always, always, it's exciting to know that you make an effort to get to us on Saturday morning. I tell you, you know, most of us would like to sleep in on Saturday, not get up if we don't have to. But those of you that have been so faithful over the years, keep coming back. And for that, we do praise God. I am the pastor of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, located here in the Gwin Oak area of Baltimore, Maryland. And you, of course, are always invited to come by and see us on any given Sunday. Sunday morning. I might have to start church on a Saturday at this rate, on a Sunday morning. Just go to www.newvisionforlife.com, and there you will find our time schedule as well as the address. I'd like to take the time to say good morning to, first of all, let me say this. As you know, my co-host is not here with me today. She is traveling to her sister's in New Jersey for the holiday weekend. We wish her and her family safe travels. Hope they have an excellent time. And can't wait to see them, you know, coming back here for Monday. All right. Well, good morning to Tamika Shelton. Praise be unto God. To Tamika, to her mother Joyce, to Joyce in New York, to the Crawfords in North Carolina, to Jackie Anderson, to Isaiah in Chicago, to Isaiah also in Pennsylvania, to Andre in Pennsylvania, to Dawn Clary, praise God, good morning to you, to Donna Matabucci, and the list goes on and on. We want to thank each of you for being faithful on Saturday mornings to come out and be with us on the air. Also, you know, to the rest of the listeners, know that without you, this show would not. That's right, without you, the show would not be. So again, I say good morning to you all. Now, remember, as we go on in the show, I will, first of all, open in prayer. And as we go on in the show, after I introduce my guest this morning, if you have any questions for my guest, please press 1 on your keypad. At that time, I will see that you wish to speak, and I will pull you in on the conversation. Remember, again, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And one of the ways we do that is by you speaking or talking back to us. We want to be able to answer your questions about whatever the topic is today. And not only do we want to answer your questions, if you have something to share and give us some advice or information, we are open to hear from you. Amen. So let us go ahead and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you. We honor you. We magnify your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, and God, there is none like you. We thank you so much for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I praise your holy name, Father, because you got us each safely through the night and brought us to this point in our day. You've given us another chance, Lord God, to complete the assignment that you had for us or have for us. I thank you, Lord God, that our destiny, Father, truly is being led by you. I praise your name, Lord God, as we make the right choices because the Holy Spirit within us, Lord God, is leading and guiding us. I ask for forgiveness of any sins that any of us have committed, Lord God. And because we are created in your image, you have given us the ability to forgive just as you have forgiven us. So may we forgive all of those, Lord God, that hurt us, harmed us, disappointed us, rejected us, abandoned us, Lord, in any way, shape, or form, that we would forgive, Father God, just as you have forgiven us. Father, I pray that nothing that anyone has done to us would keep them from knowing you. I pray, Lord God, that each and every man, woman, and child that hears this broadcast, Lord God, will come to the place where they will turn away from wicked ways and turn their hearts towards you. I thank you for the second, third, fourth, fifth chance, however many times it takes, Lord God, that your grace and your mercy is with us. I pray for healing mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and definitely physically. Lord God, I thank you, Father God, that anything that we're asking in your name, as long as we believe, Lord God, that you, Lord God, will do it, as long, Lord God, as we have accepted the sacrifice that you have given us with your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we believe it, and it is so. God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I thank you for your words of encouragement on this day, for truly this is the day that you have made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. I praise your name as your spirit goes to the hospital wards, the prison wards, Lord God, the shelters, the transitional homes, Lord God. Father, as it goes all over the place, Lord God, your spirit, Father, as it moves all over this place, that a spirit of hope could be given to the hopeless, Lord God, that your love would be given to those that deem themselves unlovable. We come against the spirit of suicide, Lord God, and depression, Father God, and all forms of mental illness. Lord, I thank you that deliverance was made available for each and every one of us. Lord, once again, may your will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven. And we shall never, ever forget to give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus, Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Amen, beloved. Amen, amen, amen. Well, this is another exciting day. It's another day in which we can give God glory and honor. It's another day we're here on Heart to Heart. We find out what is on your heart. Amen. And we're sharing what is on our heart. Today, I have the pleasure, the absolute pleasure of speaking with Mr. Mr. Marlo Hargrave. He is the founder of Freedom Advocates Celebrating Ex-Offenders, or the acronym of, and I'm telling you, you are going to be excited yourself once you hear what this brother has to say, this man of God. And I don't know, first of all, let me say good morning to him. Good morning, Brother Marlo. How are you, Deart?
Great morning. I'm well, and yourself?
I am truly blessed and highly favored, beloved. Truly blessed.
Amen.
It's a good day in Yes, sir. Now, I don't know if Brother Harlow remembers, but I did meet him once face to face. Now, I've seen him twice, but I met him once, and it was at Sandra Hill, Pastor Sandra Hill's church, when she was in off of Liberty Road in a basement there. And it was a very small gathering. And Brother Harlow was there. And that was the first time that I met him. And I cannot remember right now where I saw him the second time. But it's been many, many years. And little did I know that at the time of meeting him then, that it would roll around here years later, and I do mean it's been well over 8-9 years ago that I met him, and it is amazing that here we are today speaking with one another, and I never ever take any of my meetings that they're coincidental. I believe every meeting that I have with every person that there is a divine purpose, divine timing. There's something there, you know, that comes out of these introductions. So, sir, again,
amen.
It's wonderful to have you here with us today. So wonderful. And what I would like for you to do, please, for us, if you would you give my audience, please, a little introduction of yourself? Tell them a little bit about Marlo.
Amen. To God be the glory. And it is only by his grace and his mercy that I'm able to do that today, far as share information about myself. My correct name is Marlo Hargrove, Sr., director of an organization here in Baltimore, Maryland, which is called FACE. That's an acronym which stands for Freedom Advocates Celebrating Ex-Offenders. Freedom, to be able to have the freedom to be able to be who God has called us all to be. An advocate, to be able to speak on the behalf of, and to celebrate the fact that we do have freedom and liberty. And an ex, meaning no longer an offender, to have simply done wrong. And the reason why I said that is because, but by the grace of God, there I go. I am not my brother's keeper. I am my brother, and I am my sister's keeper as well. You're listening to someone that has no mother, that has no father, that has no sisters, that has no brothers. My mom passed at the age of 34, father at the age of 36, both chronic alcoholics. The doctors told them if they ever stopped drinking that they were going to die. So I felt compelled to keep feeding them alcohol till they both passed away from chronic alcoholism. They took me on the 20 years, Benz, of my drug addiction. I wasn't that one that went to jail and spent some amount time in prison, but I became institutionalized and locked up in my mind by the way I thought. So as a man thinketh, so is he. So I thought I was that alcoholic. I thought I was that substance abuse user. I thought I was that homeless person. So I became all those and some. But it was only by the grace of God that I have been delivered for the last 17 years. Having picked up a drug, having been to prison as far as being locked up, but I've been in the prison to be able to speak the goodness of Jesus Christ to the other brothers and sisters who are bound, because we can be behind the walls in our flesh, but doesn't mean that we have to be behind the four walls in our spirit. So I don't do the work of FACE, Freedom Advocates Celebrating Ex-Offenders, as a job. I do it because God has called that to me, and it is a part of the vision that he has birthed in me, because it's not a job. FACE is a ministry. And we've been in existence since 2002. And again, I just cannot give God enough glory. I don't have enough tongues to thank him enough, because he saved a wretch like me. He saved someone who has been stabbed, who has been shot, who has been pistol whipped, who has been lost, who has been sleeping in old houses, who slept in places where the rats looked at me like I'm violating airspace. So I know how it feels when I see broken individuals, when I see them having mental health challenges, and I see them in society, and it seems as though they're struggling. I see me in them. I feel compelled to reach back and help them, because the same God that did it for me can do it for them. And I just truly believe that nothing in life happens by accident. Yes, I remember the time that you and I, we did meet, and there are some people that you meet just for one time, and it seems like you've known them all your life. And the compassion and the commitment that you share week after week, day after day, month after month, year after year, and knowing that God has put you in the position, because all of us are ministers. A minister is basically a servant, and we are serving God's people. I see the compassion, and there are some souls that are out there that want some help. There are some souls out there that may never go inside the four walls of the church. But we need to know that the church is in us, that the God is in us, if they never enter into the four walls of a building, they should be able to see the God in us that they can say, what must I do to be saved? So I'm just compelled to be on your radio show this morning. I thank God for this avenue, this venue, to be able to talk about his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. And also, I thank God for Heart to Heart.
Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. 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 Absolutely marvelous. It's wonderful. I mean, I thank you for your testimony, and it is so wonderful hearing that no matter what hardship that you went through, that those were the building blocks, the steps, the process that one has taken in order to complete and to do what God anointed you to do. And too many people need to realize, you know, that what they're going through is not to kill them. You know, their ministry can be, their misery can become their ministry. So praise God. I am honored, sir, of being here with you as well. Okay. The audience of faith, who would be your audience?
The least, the lost, and the left out. Those that have the willingness to want to change. Those who know that it is going to take a higher power greater than themselves to do better, want better, and succeed and excel for better. Doesn't matter their creed, religion, and or their ethnicity. We're just in a position, one entity, trying to help a multitude of people. We're not categorizing no color. We're not categorizing what they have done in their past. We just taking the whole standing on God's foundation, Jesus Christ's foundation, and being an avenue to show them what worked for us, what worked for me, and then having any willing vessel that want to change, this is an opportunity, and we can help you like God has helped us.
Amen, amen. Now, when you say helping us, the us that you are talking about, who is the us?
The us will be the least, the lost, and the left out. The us can be the returning citizens. The us can be the ex. The us can be the ones that have the mental health challenges. The us can be the ones that are going through life. Because I've learned throughout my society that the things that we go through, yes, they are our testimonies. But however, some things aren't meant to be fixed. Some things are meant to be managed, and that we can manage the things that we're going through in our life and stop thinking that we can fix, because we don't fix, God fixes. So we're just in position. So the us, again, we don't categorize who the us is. We just say anyone who has a willing vessel to want to change. And what we cannot do in our circle that will allow us to direct them in the right position so that the us can change too.
Amen, amen, amen. And while I'm thinking about it, sir, please forgive me for getting your name wrong, because I did say Hargrave, and it is Hargrove, obviously. You know your name, and I messed it up. And I do apologize. Please forgive me.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, dear. So now, are there other organizations that partner with Faith to help meet your goals?
Yes, there are other organizations, and please forgive me. I don't usually mention other organizations just because I don't want to forget one and say the other. But however, there are strategic people in place, because we know here in Baltimore there's a high rate of crime. We know that. Mm-hmm. Where there is so much going on in this society and in this world today, not just in Baltimore, but in the world. But nevertheless, we believe that God can change any man, any woman, any human being.
Mm-hmm.
So in saying that, there are numerous of programs and agencies and organizations in Baltimore, just speaking about Baltimore, the city of Baltimore. However, that we connect with those that are reliable. There's a difference. There are many, just like the word of God said, many are called, but only few are chosen. So the programs that are the reliable ones, and that we put ourselves in the position of having a circle of influence, that once we can help that individual get to whatever their needs are after the evaluation to find out what their needs are, then we strategically place them with people and or agencies that can help them, again, to better help themselves. Because what I've realized, and I'll be quite transparent, everyone that's qualified, everyone that's certified isn't qualified.
Right.
Everyone that's certified, qualified. However, mm-hmm. those that have living experience and the passion and the commitment and truly understand how it feels to be homeless, penniless, broke, and come from incarceration, those are the ones we gear towards connecting others to that can relate exactly where they are and meet them at their needs. Instead of saying I'm above or underneath, they can look them eyeball to eyeball and say we are on the same platform, and the only decision now is decide whether you want to live or whether you want to die. There's no in between.
Wow, awesome. Woo, I tell you, that is some powerful information right there. Okay, let's look here at well, I think you may have touched on that, but let me ask you as far as the things that the organization has to offer, the goals of your organization, what specifically does FACE offer to the, okay, other than saying, ex-offenders, I mean, that's in the name of your title, the Freedom Advocate Celebrating Ex-Offenders. Okay, tell me what things are offered to the ex-offender.
Go ahead, ma'am.
No, that was my fault, dear. Go ahead.
Okay, what is offered is the FACE organization have transitional houses. We have them over east. We have them over west. So we have a stationary area where we can house individuals to give them the Spirit of God. I'm just going to keep as transparent, the Spirit of God. We're not giving them Marlo because Marlo may have you back in prison. Giving them the Spirit of God. Not allowing my words, but in my actions and my deeds, where they can see God's manifestation through my life, the way I'm living, the way I'm acting, and those I serve. So that's a platform that we have where we can house men. We house men that come out of incarceration or have some type of history of incarceration, and we put them in a setting where we said, well, what's going to make us distinguishly different? We have transitional houses. There are other programs that have transitional houses. What's going to make you all any different? So I prayed to God, and I said, God, there has to be some distinct difference between FACE and other organizations that make people want to actually even take the time to inquire what is, who is, and those FACE serve. So to answer your question, today and for many years, it has proven to be successful. You have NA for Narcotics Anonymous. You have AA for Alcoholics Anonymous. God has blessed us to create OA. OA, which stands for Offenders Anonymous. And in this Offenders Anonymous, we get to the meat of the problems, the issues, the concerns, and the matters, and we ask them, how can we help you help you? It's not our plan to say how we're going to do it, but let us help you create a plan. Let us build a relationship, and let us keep God the centerpiece and the foundation. And with God in the midst of it, we can't do nothing but fail. So that has blessed us through Offenders Anonymous who have living experience to come to the transitional houses every week. We're meeting with them every week, meeting them where they are, taking them out, helping them find employment, helping them to build a resume, not helping them just to get a job, but helping them to build a trade, not looking at their weaknesses, but building it off their strengths. For so long, we talk about the negativity, but we strive on what little thing that's positive in your life. And we work right there, and we work that so that we can begin to deteriorate and tear back the negativity that's keeping us in bondage. So we've been blessed to do that for over 16 years, still in existence, and God is still giving us the glory to continue to prosper and to serve his people.
Praise God. Over 16 years, you still up and still running and still helping people. Without giving a name, could you share one of the testimonies of your graduates or participants in, from your program?
Yes, ma'am. I'd be delighted to. And I call him because we geared towards helping the men. Men, I believe, mm-hmm. it has to take their rightful place. You women, I commend you. I commend you. Sister Jackie Anderson, strong advocate for faith. Strong advocate.
Yeah.
She, one of the main reasons why I am here through God's grace and mercy to be on your show today. And in saying that,
mm-hmm.
one of the individuals, hear me clearly now, spent 48 years straight in prison. Not 48 months, 48 days, 48 years straight in prison.
Jeez.
48 years. That's
My
a
God.
Testimony within itself. 48 years
yes.
in prison. So when he came out of prison, see, the relationship doesn't start when they come out. The relationship starts mm-hmm. while they're in. We build a rapport, mm-hmm. a relationship with this individual so that when he come out, because we know after 48 years, things have changed in society. Didn't know how to use a computer. Go to the door to open the door, and the doors evolve. They start to turn around. Walking down the
mm-hmm.
street, and he's looking like, you could tell he's like a baby, like a child, like a sponge. We get inside of my
mm-hmm.
truck, then we're driving, and the alarm going off because he didn't have his seatbelt on. He's looking around, and I said, oh, man, put your seatbelt on. He looked like, seatbelt, what is that? So I had
what
to reflect back, oh, man, yes. So I had to actually
Ooh.
Reach over and show him how to put the seatbelt on. And now when
wow.
we get in my truck, man, put your seatbelt on. He's telling me, man, got your seatbelt on, telling me to put mine on. You know, so the little things that we take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Then he have access
mm-hmm.
to the whole transitional house that we had, and he sat up in the room the first week he came out and sat in one corner on the side of the bed because he'd been
mm-hmm.
so confined in that cell. And I said, man, you got access to the whole house. Go ahead down and pick something to eat. Oh, I don't know how to cook. Go ahead down there, man, and watch TV. You know, everything. He was so trained and so conditioned that over the 48 years, all he
mm-hmm.
knew. But the one thing, mm-hmm. and to God be the glory, is that he had
mm-hmm.
relationship with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He had relationship with the Father. So when we
Jesus.
Think something is wrong, God will turn it around for our good. What we think
mm-hmm.
is hell, God will turn it around for hope, turn our mess into a miracle, and our
mm-hmm.
pain into a praise. Today, the brother is the house manager, and now he's equipping
yeah.
and empowering others on how to be successful, too. So God be the glory.
Woo. God
yeah.
be the glory. That is awesome. That is awesome. You know, when you said the 48 years in prison, every day, you know, and that in itself was a miracle of him surviving, you know, the system,
Amen.
And he's out 48
Amen.
Years, you know.
That oh,
yeah. is amazing.
Oh,
yeah. And, you know, to those of us that have never been confined physically that long, and when you said about how society had changed in those 48 years, you know, we take it for granted because we're here living through this stuff every day. We've grown throughout the 48 years, but like you said, this man, you know, come from prison to and re-entering into society and doesn't know what a computer is, you know, and
yes.
and this, that, and the other things we take for granted, and he had
oh,
to
yeah.
learn. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. And now he's running the house, amen, and encouraging others.
Yes,
That's
Lord.
Awesome.
Yes.
That is
yes.
awesome. And I'm a visual person, and when you said, you know, about him sitting there on the edge of the bed, you know, I can see him doing that. And, you know, I'm trying to think of the experiment, you know, where you put a chain around the ankle of a dog, and he only runs around in that circle as far as it can go, and then when you take him
oh,
off the
my.
Chain, with the, he still runs
yes.
around just that. He's free to go, but he's conditioned.
Yes.
So I can see him sitting there on the bed and walking that 3x4 if he have, you know, when he got up, because that's what he was used to, you know. Wow, brother.
My God. Yes.
And I know it's got to be exciting for you when you see progress taking place and when you see the plan of God coming together.
Oh, yes. And he tells me how he appreciates me because when he came out, I said, well, do you have any family? He said, I don't know how to contact. He said, all my family is dead. I said, well, we can go on Facebook. I mean, just about everybody using social media. He said, so simplistic. I don't even know who to look for. You know, he said, I don't know. All my family members are dead. He said, I don't know who to look for. And he looked me square in my eyes, and I'm getting filled up now. And I looked him square in his, and I said, well, you have family now, brother. I'm your family and you're mine. And that for the last 2 years, him and I, we've been connected. And when they ask me to go speak, I don't go if he don't go. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me coming on nobody's show. We've been on the radio, the newspaper, sat down with delegates and candidates and sat down with people campaigning and the mayor. I'm not impressed about all that. At the end of the day, it's still me and this brother that's going back through this transitional house. How can you help us help others? Help us help others. That's what it's about. It's not about being on the radio station and the newspaper. Got all the auto, got the T-shirt, the cup, the hat, the show for it. But there are so many other brothers that's still incarcerated that's looking for a shot of hope. That's looking for a shot. That's expecting somebody to stand for truth. And if we don't stand for something, we're going to continue to fall for anything. And I pray that this message gets out to some brother and or sister who's listening. And if you don't feel compelled to do something about all of this murder that's taking place in our society, then I question a man's manhood. That's my brother that's out there getting killed. That's my sister that's out there. I feel compelled. Yeah. I feel like Face can't do enough. I feel like there's no price tag for the many individuals that did the 48 years. He's just one individual. I get guys that did life, 20 years or more. Life's going to be 20. He did 48 years, $38,000 annually to incarcerate someone inside of prison, only to let them out after 48 years with nothing but the clothes on their back. Clothes on their back. And I go into my pocket. I go into my pocket to house individuals, not chasing grant money, but chasing Jesus. And that's what sustains us.
Amen. Brother Marlo, hold for one moment. We do have a caller that wishes to speak. Thank you. Your last four digits are 4831. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Apostle. This is Prophet Crawford.
Yes, beloved. How are you today?
Yeah, as if you didn't know who it was.
Of course.
I just want to thank you for the call. I want to thank the brother that's talking. And one of the things that he said that really hit home, you know, having a twin brother that's been in and out of jail and in and out of prison, is the condition that they face. And most of us don't think about how conditioned these individuals are. Having been in the military, I understand the strictness and the regimen and the discipline that comes with it. But the military is nothing compared to what these individuals go through when they become incarcerated. Because just like the brother said, that man, after 48 years, his whole mind, his entire life, I mean, 48 years is a life. I'm 51, so that's my entire life that would have been gone if I had been sentenced to 48 years or something. And to think about that, and to think about the conditions that have been drilled into this man, not instilled, drilled into him, and to try to break those conditions now is going to take not a month. It's going to take years to get him out of all those conditions and to get his mind reconditioned. And that's part of what has to happen. And I thank God that there are programs out there like this one that are helping to recondition those individuals. And that's what they're doing. They're not just helping them transition. They're helping to recondition them from the conditions that they have been had to deal with and the conditions that have been instilled in them for all the years that they've been incarcerated. And most of us don't bother to think about that. And I'll be honest, I've never really thought about all the times that my own brother had been incarcerated and how long he had spent there and what he had to deal with while he was locked up behind bars and then coming back out. And he would talk to me about some of his experience, but he talked to me more about him finding his relationship with God, but then he got out and went right back into the exact same environment, and now it's seven times worse for him. And seeing his life now, and all I can do is keep encouraging him, keep praying for him, keep trying to speak positive to him. You know, unfortunately, I'm not right around him. He's 8 hours away from where I am, and I wish and hope that there are programs like this one, maybe where he is, that I might be able to try to connect him with to help him start to recondition his mind to get things changed. But most of us don't bother to think about the conditions that these people have been through. There has to be a reconditioning that happens when they come out. Or in their mind, their mind is still stuck on those same conditions. You know, I remember when I first got out of the Marine Corps and I got out of basic training, I went home and I was sleeping in my bed and my dad came in and flipped the light on and I jumped up instantly. Because after 13 weeks of having gone through that, and that was 13 weeks, not 13 years. But after 13 weeks of someone turning a light on and that's what wakes you up, that 13-week conditioning, I had to get myself out of that. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what after 48 years of conditioning, how hard it would be to try to recondition that mind. But I thank God that there are individuals out there that are helping to do it. Or we're losing people, not just because of the murder rate, but then we're losing people because there's no one to help recondition them.
Amen. Brother Marlowe, is there anything that you would like to respond to on what he has said?
I am in total awe, and I truly thank him for his powerful and transparency. Because the fact of knowing that we are not alone and there are people who do care. And I'll even extend my gratitude and humbleness to be able to help this individual on the phone, his family member. If you can get me his information with your permission, I'll be more than willing to connect my guy with the 48 years who can actually connect with him by way of writing and that they can stay in touch and encourage each other. That's what we do. We give back. You know, we give back. Not just, I don't want to be on the phone, hear your powerful testimony, you hear mine, and we sharing stories. These are not stories. These are our life. These are people's lives we're talking about. This is not a story. The man just said he was in the military talking about cutting on the light switch. Had to recondition his mind. So if we can engage and empower each other and edify each other, then that's what it's about. God said, if you save just one, if you help one, that may be the reason of this connection of us talking today. I'll be willing to give my information. You can have your brother contact us. Because what I tell individuals who have gone through the lifestyle of incarceration, tell them, when they go to prison or when we go to prison, it's like our family members are going to. When we get locked up, it's like they're getting locked up. You know, so now after so many years, then we come back out, oh, I didn't change. I didn't got my life together. We're not trying to hear that. I'm not trying to hear you. I need to feel you. I need to feel your sincerity, mm-hmm. not hear your sincerity, because they're so used to saying it but doing the same exact thing. He just shared it. But saying it and being real mm-hmm. brief, the thing is, I tell them they can't expect to run back in society after whatever many years. Things, bills mm-hmm. don't stop because you've been locked up. Bills still mm-hmm. continue on. So I got to get a job, take care of my family. Your family was taken care of the 48 years you was gone, the 20 years, the 10 times you were gone the last time. You know, so what I tell mm-hmm. them, they can't come expecting to run back in society. We got to ease mm-hmm. our way back into society and allow people right. that have gone through it to help us to go through it. Some of us, we got to mm-hmm. hold their hands. Some move quicker than others. And some will return back to prison because it's easy for them to survive there. But all we mm-hmm. have to do is start somewhere. We have to start somewhere rather than talking about the problems. Let's be solutions to the problems.
Amen, amen, amen. Brother Harlow, do me a favor, please, dear heart.
Yes, ma'am.
Those of you listening, please get yourselves prepared to write down Brother Harlow's contact information. We want to be sure that you have that. And also, if you don't get it written down right now, all of our shows are archived, and you will be able to go back to Blog Talk Radio, and you will be able to hear the message all over again so that you can get the information. But I hope you are prepared to write this down, type it in your phone, do something, because you don't want to miss this opportunity. And before he gives his contact information, let me say this. You heard Prophet Crawford saying he has a twin brother that has been incarcerated, you know, quite a bit. Y'all know that my grandson was incarcerated and at the present time is in a mental hospital. Praise God. And I want you to know this. I want you to know this. I don't push and or promote something that I myself don't believe in and or would not do. And so we're setting things up for Brother Marlo to go and see my grandson, Daniel, because I believe in the mission that God has put in him. And I believe that he will be an encouragement to my baby, that he would be an encouragement to him and someone positive in my grandson's life when he is released. My grandson does not know his father, had a bad relationship with a stepfather, and my baby has said to me many a times that there was no man in his life to show him how to be a man. He appreciated me as his grandmother, his mother as the mother. We did all that we could do, but there was no man that he could model himself after. There was no man to take him under his wing and say, son, this is the way a man should, you know, handle this, that, and the other. And with me saying that, and I want all of you to hear this, I want all of you to hear this. This is, now, my grandson was basically born in church, okay, born in the church. He's been in church, you know, from day one. And the men of the church didn't even step up. So this goes
my
to
God.
Show, I'm telling you, I remember when the family broke up and this, that, and the other, when he was a little boy, around 10 years old, and I stood in front of the church and I said, I'm going to need you brothers to help me and my daughter raise my grandson. I'm asking you to help us. And my baby told me after that service, Grandma, you are more man to me than anybody in this church. And
my,
I was
my,
like,
my.
He did. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. And at that mm-hmm. time, I did a men's ministry over at the Christopher Place, and I would take my grandson with me. And we went over there every single week. We did Bible studies. We fed the men over there. I took him over there. They would teach him how to play basketball. And now, mind you, the Christopher Place, was an employment academy for homeless men who were ex-offenders, homeless, and so forth, and this program helping them, you know, to become a vital part of society. And over there is where these fellas, I call them all my sons, and my baby, bless his heart, those were his uncles, because I had no sons, you know, so those were uncles like to him. I mean, and so when I hear what Brother Marlowe is doing and the success of this program and realize that, you know, not only did the people in the secular world not help, but the people in the church, the men didn't help. And I'm all for the men. Elder West from our church will tell you, I am more for men than you could imagine. And for me as a woman having a men's ministry, I got over 365 sons through that ministry, you know. So
Amen.
Hear me, I'm excited about us helping these brothers be the men that God ordained them to be before the foundation of this world. You know, the very thing that my grandson is to be before he came, Brother Marlowe, before he came here, it was already predestined that he would be in this pathway. And he went through what he had to go through to get there. So I said all of that to say, y'all, I am promoting, standing by, supporting faith, and truly I want you to get the information, because probably nobody on this line escaped having a member being an ex-offender in their line. Probably none of us. We all have got one somewhere. So with all of that being said, I'm sorry I got carried away there. With all of that being said, Brother Marlowe, can you please give our audience contact information?
Yes, ma'am. I'd be more than delighted to. Our website is www.face, that's F-A-C-E, Face Baltimore, all one word, facebaltimore.org. Our contact number is 410-522-FACE, F-A-C-E, which numbers are 3223. We also have a Gigglify app that people can download if they want to do a monetary donation. You can connect and donate through our PayPal account, which is on the website as well. You know, and I appreciate any and all donations. It definitely takes money to do what we do. And saying that, to send stamps to people who are incarcerated, to write letters, send mail, anything, to even to sponsor, to keep an individual housed in one of our transitional houses. Again, the information is www.facebaltimore.org. Contact number is 410-522-3223. And the Gigglify app is G-I-V-F-Y, and that's Gigglify app. And just go to the Face Charitable Organization for any monetary donations. Thank you in advance, and God bless you.
Awesome. Prophet Crawford, we want to thank you for being transparent as well, and, you know, and sharing the information about your family. And you know, that's one of the tricks of the enemy that likes to keep us hiding these things, you know, so that nobody knows, you know, my daddy was an alcoholic and my mother was a drug addict and so forth and so on. And, you know, that we want folks to think we've been saved, sanctified, and clean all of our lives. And, darling, hey, we all got something here in our background. Good morning still. Praise the Lord, darling. Your numbers, let's see, your last four digits. Let me see here. That might be, let's see. Marlo, is your last four digits 9420?
No, ma'am.
Or is that, okay, that's someone else. Okay. So I'm looking at all these numbers here and I'm getting confused. Okay. Beloved, your number 9420. I think I know who this is. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning. I just called to celebrate Marlo and Face. This is Jacqueline Anderson. I just want to thank God that Marlo stepped into that assignment I used to be over top of a prison ministry, and that's one of the mm-hmm. things. And then I had the honor to meet Marlo, and I worked with Alfreda Robertson. And that's one of the things that people in and out go that went in and out of prison talked about was not being able to survive. So I just wanted to tell Marlo, I am just so, so proud of him and Faith. And this Apostle Etta Banks, I met her at Mercy Hospital. And from the first day mm-hmm. I met her to this day, that's one thing I love about her besides a lot of things is the compassion and the love that she has for people, and especially people who need another chance and who need a new beginning.
Amen, amen. We both thank you. And just like Marlo said earlier today, that you are the catalyst that brought us together for this show. And folks of God, let me say that this woman of God, she's another person that is a great supporter. She is your, what is it, Jackie, the solution?
Oh, the problem solver, the change agent,
problem solver.
The servant.
Amen. Change agent, servant, problem solver. And a lot of the guests that we have had on the show over the years is because Jackie Anderson has recommended that we meet, that person and I meet, and she has recommended a lot of the guests that you have heard from. And Marlo is definitely one of those guests, and she never, ever just gets information and holds it back for herself, but always is putting information out there. So, Miss Jackie Anderson, at this point, let me give you the opportunity to give your contact information, since you are the problem solver. You know, I knew you before as the solution lady, and you're the servant. Give them your information to contact you as well.
Anyone can contact me at 410-664-9420, or you can email me at jcdarius@aol.com. And I say to every listener, because of God and the Holy Spirit, any problems that anyone has, God allows me through the Holy Spirit help to be able to help them, because that's what Jesus did. Wherever Jesus went, everything changed. So anyone that I can help, please feel free to call me. And I just want to let you know I'm serious. I give everybody a chance because God gave me a chance. But if you're not going to do the work, please don't call me, because it requires work to get to where God wants you to get. Thank you, Apostle Banks and Marlo.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 We have a few more minutes here. Someone else wants to chime in. Let me let them in, please. Your last four digits, please, are 7741. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, beloved. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and yourself? My name is Aaliyah Watts, and I was calling in to say thank you to Marlo. I myself am an ex-offender. I am from Baltimore. I now reside in Charlotte, North Carolina. And while I'm here, I started a cleaning business here, and I'm also in the process of working on opening I call it a rebirthing home for women that are returning from incarceration. Because during my experience or during my time of incarceration, I noticed that there were a lot of women, unlike myself, that they didn't have anywhere to go once they, you know, were released. And they also didn't have, like, knowledge of basic needs that some of us had. I was privileged, I'll say, because when I was released, I still had a home to go to. I still had, you know, my parents had my children while I was away, so they didn't go into the system at the time. And a lot of women don't get to have that advantage. So, Marlo, I want to say thank you for everything that you're doing with, you know, the men. And I would love to connect with you to see how we both can you know, help this population of people because the assistance and help is needed. And Apostle, while I was listening to you share your story of your grandson, it did something to me, because the exact same words that your grandson said to you are the exact same words that my son, who is now 22, he'll be 23 in July, said to my mother and myself, and he's currently incarcerated up in Baltimore. God willing, he will be released in June, but right now, and he's still there. Marlo, he's at DOC currently, and you know, I spoke to him on yesterday, and I shared with him, and I told him that Marlo, when he is released, as well as, you know, trying to stay in his ear to have a plan for when he is released, because it is very, very hard for people, you know, when everybody has the initial mindset of, when I get out, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that to get my life together. But when you come out of that cage and you in reality smacks you in the face, you know, that things are not going to go as easy as you plan them to, you have to have support. You have to have that support to be able to, you know, somebody that has been through it to let you know that, you know, I'm here for you. You know, if this door closes, you know, try this one. If that one closes, try that one. And I think partially, and I'm not, you know, downing the crime that I committed, but I think, and I've always had a passion for helping people, but I think that God let me go through that experience so that I could know firsthand what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can't always help people just by saying you want to help. Some things, you know, God needs you to go through in order for you to have your eyes open and your heart open and your mind open to know that, okay, this is what these people need. And I needed to see that in order for me to be able to help other people through that. And Marlo, you know, like I said, I want to give you, I want us to exchange either here or you know, we follow each other on Facebook. But I want us to be in communication and connection with each other, because if you could offer me any guidance or any help in how I should go about this. And, you know, I like I said, I started my cleaning business, but if things are going okay, but I just feel like, you know, my help with women that have been through incarceration is God's assignment on my life, and I think that I need to begin to focus more on that than, you know, the other things that I've been focusing on. So if we can, you know, communicate with each other in any way, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And I ask that you guys keep, you know, my son in your prayers, that when he comes home, he is able to be, you know, have a successful reentry process.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
And beloved, let me have your son. You don't have to give me his last name. Give me his first name so I can put on a prayer list, please.
His first name is Montez, M-O-N-T-E-Z.
M-O-N-T-E-Z. Okay. And may I have your name, please?
Sure. It's Aaliyah, A-L-E-A. And my last name is Watts, W-A-T-T-R.
W-A-P-T-S. All right. Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much.
Amen.
Marlo, we got 60 seconds here, beloved. Let me thank you so very much for touching the hearts of my listeners. Thank you so very much. And is there any last words that you would have for us today, dear?
Yes, ma'am. I want to thank everyone that has spoken and shared and poured into my life. You all have poured into my life as well. I just want you all to know that. And I want to say this, and please receive it in love. As long as we don't quit, we win. As long
Amen.
As we don't quit, we win. We all we got. We are all we got. I've done this work with no grants, no real support. You all have done what you've done with no real support. We all we got. So we have to allow God to do what he do through us, in us, for us, so we can do for others. Three steps, step in, step up, and step out.
step into the situation, step up in the situation, and now we got to step out of the situation, as we've done by faith. Mm-hmm. Want to continue and be encouraged and ask that you all, and again, it's going to take finances. We want to do the work, but it takes finances mm-hmm. to do the work. Not so that we can look good or be good and be so great, so that we can continue to help God's people. Our website, again, is www.faithbaltimore. Contact number 410-522-3223. Givelify monetary donation app is Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. And download the app, and you can go to the Faith Charitable Organization. And please, all donations and contributions is greatly appreciated. And it goes to the further in the kingdom to help God's people. Thank you. Amen. And God bless you.
Thank you so very, very much. Thank you so very much.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
So now, beloved, above all things, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does,
Amen.
He will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings that he bestowed upon you. I thank
Amen.
God for the completion of the circle of blessings. Therefore, I beseech you in the name of Jesus to go forth even this day and be a blessing unto someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. Know that I love you with all my heart, but no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. In Jesus' name. This is Apostle Etta Banks with our guest Marlo Hargrove here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you all. See you next Saturday.